Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of Middays. I'm Susie Larson, and I'm always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Here's a question for you. Have you ever met even one person who's joyfully said, you know what? Life turned out exactly as I planned, exactly as I dreamed it would. You know, I think we all come to this point where we realize we're not in control. In fact, some of the twists and turns of life can leave us breathless and even wondering if God hears us, sees us, maybe if He's holding out on us. Do you ever feel that way? Well, here's what's true. He sees, He cares, and He makes sure that you always have what you need when you need it. Well, I'm so looking forward to today's show. I love the book that we're covering today. Meredith McDaniel joins me today to talk about her book, In Want and Plenty, Waking Up to God's Provision in a Land of Longing. She says this, life should not be a burden that we have to bear until we get to heaven. Life should not be a burden that we have to bear until we get to heaven. You know, so many Christians approach life that way, and you don't fault them because they've just been beat up enough by life that they just sort of are hanging on until they can see Jesus. And I've felt that way, I guess, a few times. But God has more for us in the land of the living. I really believe today's show is going to encourage you and inspire you. We've got 6 copies of this beautiful book. She's a beautiful writer, very insightful as well. In Want and Plenty, Waking Up to God's Provision in a Land of Longing. We love giving books away on this show. So if you're new to the Faith Radio family, let me tell you how it's done. If you're not, you're a vet, you know this already. Text the word book to 877-9 833-2484, 877-933-2484. I also want to let you know, we really want to honor the memory of Robbie Zacharias. We've had him on our program lineup for 17 years, I think it's been. So we've established a voicemail on our faith line just for Robbie testimonies. So we're collecting those, wanting to put a montage together. We would sure love to hear from you. If you've got just something you want to share about how Robbie's program impacted you, would you share it with us? Use the same number I gave you, but you call it, and then you press 3 to get to the Robbie voicemail line, all right? 877-933-2484. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Meredith McDaniel is a licensed professional and counselor and owner of a private practice, Milk Plus Honey. I love that. A graduate of Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary, Meredith enjoys entering into quieter places of people's life in a safe setting to offer hope and help. Help others taste the land of milk and honey. I just love that. She and her husband, Ben, have 3 young children, live in a small town near Charlotte, North Carolina. Dear Meredith, so nice to meet you.
Oh, Susie, thanks so much for having me. I'm looking forward to getting some time together today.
I am too, very much. And we love to start every day talking scripture. Wondering if there's a verse you've been pondering these days you can share with us.
Oh, well, it's a verse, and it's also a song that we used to sing a lot when I was in college, but it's found in Isaiah 43, and it just says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine." And it goes on to talk about how the waves will not wash over us or crash on us. The fire will not consume us. But I really love that part where it just says, "I've summoned you by name, and you are mine." And that gives me such great comfort every single day to know that I'm seen by our Creator.
Beautiful. Well, I want to know how the book idea was first born in your heart, In Want and Plenty. Talk about that.
Yeah, well, about 7 or 8 years ago, we were kind of in the thick of having really young children. My husband was in full-time ministry and still is today with Young Life, with high schoolers and college students. And I had just kind of found myself in a place of just despair and overwhelm, both emotionally, physically, psychologically, spiritually, kind of every dynamic of my well-being, just really felt overwhelmed and overspent. This was on the heels of coming out of seminary, starting my private practice, and then starting to have young children. And I just felt like one day the Lord started whispering to me this metaphor of manna. So that substance that we hear about back in the Old Testament, in the Ancient of Days in Exodus, where He was providing this flaky white substance that actually translates to mean, what is it? So that question of what is this, God? I don't even know what you're providing, but you're giving it to me every single day, and it's just what I need. And so I just really started holding on to that, that idea that he was going to give me everything I needed, manna for every moment. And it was actually also going to be uniquely tailored to me and my needs, since he knows me better than I know myself. And I started seeing that not only in my own life, but in that of my counseling clients, you know, high school girls that I would sit on my porch with and talk about the longings of their heart, friends, even my young kids who were just learning to talk, because they want what they want and they want it right now, right? Mm-hmm. So that was the seed of the idea and the concept behind this book, In Want and Plenty.
Hmm. When you counsel your clients, would you find that a common denominator, I mean, lots of times there's trauma, there's hurt, there's despair, but is there an underlying sense of disappointment that life just didn't turn out the way I thought?
Yes, for sure. I think that we are all longing for heaven, because we were made for communion and full connection with God and with others. And because of the fall back in the garden, you know, sin entered the world and brokenness entered the world. And we feel that on a daily basis, both in our body and just as we look out at the world around us, especially right now. And so I do, I think that we all can live in this lens of disappointment, but we can also learn to have fresh eyes and shift out of that. It just takes some intentionality and some focus and some connection with the Lord.
I love that, Meredith, because I think a person can feel very stuck in, this is what I wanted, this is what I got. There's no changing that, but you're saying, but there is change how you look at it. You actually can find manna from God's hand. You actually can live again with the story that you're in. I mean, say a word about that.
Yeah, well, I talk in the book a little bit about how, you know, when our pain is very intense or our days feel very heavy and we're feeling disappointed, we can almost have blinders on. I love horses. And so I love the image of, you know, when they have their blinders on, they can only see what's right in front of them. But if we were able to pull those blinders back, and I want to be really clear, not in our own strength, right? We need to lean on the Holy Spirit to do this and invite him into this space with us. Then we're able to start looking up, and my pastor says this a lot, we're able to start looking up and looking around and seeing what is actually already in our midst. We see what's already missing. And I actually am somebody who really struggles with seeing what is missing and not what is current and present in my life, the goodness and the glory in my midst. And so if we shift that lens and we shift that perspective, it's really powerful and life-changing in the way that we move forward.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, talk about narrative therapy. You mentioned that in the book. What is that?
Yes. Well, when I was in grad school at Gordon-Conwell, that was one of the theories that I really resonated with. I had a professor out of Montreat College that was a visiting professor at Gordon-Conwell, and that was kind of the main practice that he used. And I remember him talking, his name's Dr. Greg Blanton, and I remember him talking specifically about he would write a letter to his clients kind of at the tail end of their therapy and treatment together, and he would basically rewrite their story for them based on their entire file and everything that they had processed over the years, months, or days together. And then he would give it to them. And it was this tangible letter and reminder that you don't have to stay stuck in your story. You can actually rewrite your story with the co-author of our lives, which obviously is our creator and our God. And that was just really powerful to me. I started applying that in my own life and then that also into my counseling clients' lives. And it's just been life-changing to remember that we don't just have to stay where we are. We can see ourselves and our small narrative in the lens of the grander narrative, really, of the whole gospel story.
Meredith, can you give me an example from your own life about just how that, what that rewriting looked like? You know, I once saw it like this, and now I see it like this.
Yes. Well, I know when I was in college, and obviously that's a really big time of growth, and we're trying to figure out our identity and who we are, who God is, and who we want to be in the world, what we want to do with our lives. A verse that really was important to me back then was Jeremiah 29:11, which is very cliche, overused verse. But it was something I was really clinging to, that God has the plans for us, and that we can't necessarily see them, but that they are to give us hope and a future. And so when I started leaning to that, I actually started going to counseling around the same time. And my counselor started to reveal to me through the kind of work with the Holy Spirit as well, that we have to connect with Jesus in order to find out our identity and our purpose. And for me, I had been living my life up to that point, sort of just doing what I wanted to do, independent of trying to create and live with God. And it was at that point where I really started to shift my lens from what I wanted to what God's best would be for me. And that's when my eyes really were open to the gifts that He had given me, the ways that He wanted me to shed light into the world. And, narrative therapy for me, I don't know that that was necessarily what my counselor was using, but my story started shifting in that space when I was really honest with my own kind of negative self-talk and my own persistent patterns in my life into I don't have to just live out of those. I don't just have to people please. I don't have to strive and try to do my best I can in my own strength. I can actually hand the reins of my life and my story over to God, and He can start to work through me, and that will transform not only me, but the people around me as well.
Absolutely beautiful. We're going to pause here talking to Meredith McDaniel, her book, In Want and Plenty, Waking Up to God's Provision in a Land of Longing. It's just a beautiful book. We've got six copies. If you want to enter the drawing this way, text the word book to 877-933-2484. And we will be back in a minute. Sometimes I let songs play out probably longer than I should, but isn't that good? Keep me in the moment. You know what? Right here, right now, there's manna. Right here, right now, there's grace. And the enemy wants us to either be projecting fears into the future or living with past regrets. But if you are in Christ, you're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And there is a time to look back, to sort through where you are right now. But it seems that the enemy takes us into two extremes, rehearsing it to death, where we find ourselves in the ditch, or numbing out so we don't have to face it. My guest today says, taking time to look back, name where we are currently, and look ahead not only helps us reclaim our identity and true self, but it also provides us with space to shift and move as life happens so we can ride the wave with it. Talking to Meredith McDaniel, her book is In Want and Plenty, Waking Up to God's Provision in a Land of Longing. His provision is everywhere. We've got six copies, 877-933-2484. Just text the word book to that number, 877-933-2484. So Meredith, I want to read this again and just have you speak to it, and really especially speak to what I just said, because feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems we go to those two extremes and neither heal us. But there is something to be said about identifying what you say here. Take time to look back, name where we are currently, and look ahead. Looking ahead not only helps us reclaim our identity and true self, but also provides us with space to shift and move as life happens so we can ride the wave with it.
Yes, well, it's a delicate balance. There's no formula for what it looks like to look back in our story and to look where we are currently and then to look ahead into the future. I think it's as simple and as complex as that. It's looking back and saying, I need to acknowledge this whole storyline of my life from birth up until this point, and acknowledging and naming and knowing that every single part of my story has had an impact on me, whether that was positive or negative. And then it's looking at our life right now and assessing, how do I feel right now when I wake up in the morning, when I go to sleep at night? What's on my mind? What makes me feel alive? What brings tears to my eyes and breaks my heart? And then starting to look ahead into the future and being able to say, this is what I want more of. You know, these are some desires that God has put in my heart, and I want to grow, and I want to kind of leave some of those old ways behind. Like you were just talking about, I am a new creation. I want to look ahead, and I want to be transformed and renewed by the Spirit. But if we get stuck in either of those three categories for too long, we can kind of experience some sort of paralysis in our life, be that social, emotional, spiritual, all those different dynamics of us as a whole being. And I think it's just really important to kind of just kind of dig in and be led by the Spirit. And sometimes that requires us to get other people around us, you know, to help us with that.
Very good. You know, it seems we start out with high hopes, and then when things don't go the way we'd hoped, we seem to dip low, proportionate to the previous high. You know what I'm saying? Where others may say, you know what, I don't really want to be disappointed, so I'm not going to hope at all. But maybe talk about the invitation that God has for us and our tendency, one way or the other, to either not hope at all or to just despair because of past hopes dashed.
Yeah, well, the example that comes to my mind almost immediately is I think about singles. So there's a whole section in my book where I actually quote Annie Downs, where she talks about singleness and the longing and desire in her heart to one day marry, if that is God's will for her. And I think for, you know, any of us, but particularly singles who you know, that could also be somebody who wants a particular job, or you want something for your family, or you want a long-term plan for your education, to feel like you're in a better place with finances and not be in debt, you know, that whole long list of desires and dreams. But if we're able to kind of zoom back and say, you know, God, What do you want for my life? What do you want it to look like? Can I have, can you help me have open hands to what you think is best for me? Back to that Jeremiah 29:11 verse. Then we can really walk confidently in knowing that he put those desires in us, and they might not shake out the way that we think, because we think that we know best, but they're going to be his best for us. And that's where it really comes, that element of trust and faith and surrender to his plan over our own. So it's not discounting our desires by any means, but it actually gives me courage and excitement and expectancy to really hope and dream and know that he's going to work out a way and make a way if it's his best for me and for my people.
You know, Mark Batterson says, when we walk intimately with God, we actually should pay attention to the desires of our heart. But I think a lot of Christians are afraid to answer that question. What do I want more of? Like, it's a selfish thing. But if maybe God is in it, maybe God wants you to have more margin. Maybe he wants you to get more rest. Maybe he wants you to experience less self-contempt and more self-compassion. Maybe speak to that, if you would, Meredith, the difficulty of getting there. But once you get there, you're right, hope arises. Like, you mean I could have more rest, or I could have more margin, or I could have more of a sense of purpose?
Yeah, well, a lot of times when we spend time with high schoolers at camp in the summer, which we're hoping gets to happen on some small, you know, even from a distance level this summer with Young Life, we like to give them a visual of, you know, just the idea that God is with us, and he sees us, and he made us. And so what we tell them is, you know, he's not like Santa Claus up in the sky, just waiting for us to do good or bad so he can reward us or give us something bad. He's also not, you know, the police in the car behind you that's just waiting for him to be able to, again, tell you what's wrong, and kind of all those just different roles. We kind of really try to make that come to life. But I think that applies to us as adults as well. You know, it's all about our view of God and what we think he thinks about us. So if we believe that he wants us to experience joy and peace and patience and all those fruits of the Spirit in this life between heaven and earth, in this already not yet in between space, then we also have to believe that the desires of our heart to experience joy on this earth are from him. And if we have that mindset kind of correct in our mind, then I think we're able to kind of take hold more of what he has for us. I think many of us, when we look back at our past, as we were talking about earlier, we think that we're too far gone. You know, we think that we need to clean up before we come to him. I talk about at one point in the book where, you know, how ridiculous would it be if we had a shower standing right in front of us, and let's just say we had mud all over us. It's been downpouring in North Carolina this week. There's mud everywhere. And let's say I walked up to my shower and I thought, oh, I'm going to grab this whole stack of white, fresh towels, and I'm going to clean myself off before I get in the shower. You know, that doesn't make any sense. We don't need to do that. We can just get into the shower. And I think it's the same thing with our relationship with God. We can come to him with all of our bruises and all of our mess and all of our grime and dirt and grit. And we can just say, you know, God, my desires are here. My dreams are here. You see the whole picture. You see all of the mess behind me. But can you help me get back to the heart of who you made me to be? And can you help me reawaken these desires and these dreams in my heart again, so that I might follow you and again, shed some light into this at times very dark world?
What if you prayed that, friend? Help me to get back to the heart of who you made me to be. I mean, does that feel like a breath of fresh air for anybody else? It sure does for me. I think it's beautiful. You said, what if we gazed up at our Maker, locked eyes with him, and trusted that what he has in store for us and our people is actually best? What if we believe that he's already, right now, providing for us nonstop, even in the midst of our chaotic circumstances that make no logical sense to us, even when we don't think he sees us or cares? What if we are able to rest in the remembering of his goodness? I'm looking at my clock. I've got about 2 minutes left here, so that's plenty of time. I want you to say a little bit more about the Israelites and manna and how that applies, how we can look for the manna in our own life.
Well, one of the things I love about the Old Testament is I think it really very much informs the New Testament. So the things that were true in the Ancient of Days about humanity are true today in our modern world. And for me to look back at Exodus and to see the Israelites who have come out of slavery, they've entered into the desert, into a wilderness season that they don't know the end date, right? Like, we don't know the end date of this pandemic that we're living in. They were given the manna, the provision that they needed every single day. But going back to that translation of them asking the question, you know, what is it? We ask the same question in our own life. You know, sometimes the Israelites were whining and groaning and complaining. They wanted to go back into slavery, which logically doesn't make sense. But for them, it felt more known. It felt less scary, even though it was very brutal and painful. And then even when they're in the desert and they're being given the manna, they start saying, hey, we want quail. You know, they get entitled. And I know for me personally, I am very entitled. I think that I should have what I want it in the way that I want it kind of right now, just like an Amazon delivery on my front porch when it was delayed for a few weeks, right? I was like, oh man, this is supposed to be here in 24 hours, not 2 weeks from now. And I think that we can very much relate to the Israelite people because many of those human conditions are still present today.
Hmm. All right. When we come back, I want you to talk about the idea of how God helps us heal to a degree that we can grow to love the me that he made me to be. Do you know what I'm saying? Where you start to get more comfortable in your own skin. And I'll read this on the other side as well. But you said that you want to love God who created you to be, that you are not an accident, but you're an intentional work of your creator down to every gift and quirk. I just love that, where we can start to just not be our worst critic, but be a friend to ourselves, and why that's an important part of the healing. Talking to counselor and author Meredith McDaniel, her book, In Want and Plenty, Waking Up to God's Provision in a Land of Longing. And I say this often, but she writes like she speaks. It's just like, it's like a cool drink of water on a hot day. You're going to love it. 877-933-2484. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Singing, are you? There will be healing. Hallelujah. That day is coming. You know what? It's good. The Bible says it's good to look forward with expectancy, to think eternity. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson talking to Meredith McDaniel. There will be healing. There will be a day. No more tears. No more sorrow. Every pain and heartache will be wiped away. It will not even be in our memory because of the glory that's before us. But the promise is not just for that. I mean, the Bible talks about that God will bring his goodness in the land of the living, and that his mercies are new every morning. His faithfulness is great. So how do we grow comfortable with the person God's making us to be? How do we let him heal and untangle our story so that we can find joy in the present? And I'm talking to Meredith McDaniel. Her book is In Want and Plenty, Waking Up to God's Provision in a Land of Longing. There's some things you don't have to wait for. Some things God wants to impart to you right now. Got 6 copies. If you want in on the drawing, text the word book to 877-933-2484. I just love this. You said, I want to love God, who God made me to be. That I'm not an accident, but an intentional work from my Creator, down to every gift and every quirk. I just love that, because I feel like, again, I think so much of the angst in our soul comes from within us because we're not accepting the beautiful creation that God made us to be. So how did you get there? And what advice do you have for, I'm sure, the many who come into your office and are feeling the same way, just not at home with themselves?
Well, I think it's so easy to look around at other people and to say, wow, they've got it all figured out. Their life looks so much better than mine, at least from the outside. And, you know, I think about social media, I think about Pinterest, I think about magazines, TV, kind of all the content that is swirling around us constantly. And it's just very easy for us to compare and to then say, I'm not enough. I want more, something's missing, kind of all of these whispers that I believe are from the enemy and not from the lover of light in Jesus. And so first, I think we have to assess, you know, what am I believing about myself and what is informing that? And that really requires us to be still and to connect with God. I talk a lot about journaling. Uncover kind of the things that we are suppressing. We live near a lake here in North Carolina, and I talk a lot with my clients about, hey, you know those buoys that are out on the water? Can you imagine if someone was just trying to push the buoy down? You know, they can get it a little bit underwater, but it's always going to pop back up. And I think that's true of kind of these storylines and these false narratives that we are living out and believing every day. We are suppressing those, but yet they pop up in different ways in our life. And they can pop up, you know, in the form of anxiety and depression and negative self-talk, even suicidal ideation, which I do talk about at one point in the book. And so if you're listening to this right now and you're feeling like I'm just in a dark headspace and I can't quite get my head above water, there's some really great resources at the back of this book. And of course, there's always the national hotline for that as well that you could just Google. And I just wanted to mention that because I think we're living in a time right now where it does feel like, man, if one more wave crashes on me, kind of like the Israelites standing before the Red Sea, when they've kind of made it finally to this destination, and then the enemy is on their heels, and God provides a way, as my friend Ellie Holcomb says, where there seems to be no way. And so I think getting back to the heart of your question, what does it look like for us to find some healing in the midst of all of that and all the things that we carry, these false narratives that we're living out? I think it starts with connection with the one who made us, and carving time and margin and white space to really sit with him. For me, like, I lit a candle before our conversation. I like to do that before I sit down and do anything that I feel like is going to be holy connection with God or with other people. And I just invite him and I ask him to show me and reveal to me what he wants me to see in my life and in my story. So I think that's a really good place to start.
I love that you also address the person who feels like, if one more wave crashes over me. I know there are plenty of people listening today, Meredith, who feel exactly that way. Could you speak to that person today, just even maybe next steps, so that, you know, the passage you read from Isaiah is so important, that the fire will not consume you. You will not drown. You know, God is with you. But maybe what are some practical steps they could take?
Yeah, well, you know, there's all different levels of that. So depending on where you find yourself, I would say a really great resource is actually through Focus on the Family. They have a phone number that you can call and they can kind of assess where you are. That's a really great service that they provide. And then they can give you some really tangible resources if that's, your local ER, if that's a counselor, if that's a mentor, if that's getting you connected to a church, kind of based on that wide spectrum of needs that you might have. Again, I think slowing down and breathing and reaching out to, if it's somebody in your household or if you're alone in your household, it's again picking up the phone and calling that national hotline or focus on the family just to get started to find a local resource. But for me, in that moment when I feel like maybe I can hash this out with the Lord, and I don't need quite that more extreme measure quite yet, I start with just breathing and paying attention to my body. Again, doing something soothing that you know can care for yourself. If it's taking a shower, getting outside and taking a 5-minute walk and getting some fresh air, moving your body, just kind of all of these things that we know are important, but we so easily forget. Drinking enough water, taking vitamins, and eating well. And the biggest thing is connecting with someone. We were not made to hold in all of our heartache, and even our joys, ourself. And there's so much abundance and goodness when we're able to sort of let down our guard and say to somebody else, "Hey, I need a little extra support today." Like I texted 5 friends before I got on this phone call with you and said, "Hey, today's my kids' last day of school. They're all doing Zoom calls. I've got this hour radio interview. Can you guys just pray for me that you would, that God would give me the sustenance, and the words, and that I would just be led by His Spirit." So I know that I've got 5 women that are praying over me right now, and that's gonna kind of give me what I need for this hour of our time together. So again, we were not made to do this alone. Please reach out and get extra support if you're feeling alone in what you're experiencing.
Boy, very good. And I think of all the ways that God came up with an original and the enemy created either a counterfeit or a counterattack. And like our bent towards comparing and getting, it's so damaging to compare, to commit that sin of comparison or whatever you want to call it. And then you write on the flip side, just to create a different perspective for you here today. If we're made in the exact same way and we shared the exact same lens in life, we would not even be able to support each other in the essential way towards transformation. So we feel bad that we're different, we're less than or whatever. We get into that comparison trap. And yet, if we were all exactly the same, none of us would grow. And God purposed that we would be different so we can help each other where we're weak and where we're strong. So speak to that.
Oh, this is my heartbeat. So, I have 3 young kids, and I try to tell them every single day, like, you are so creative. Like, you were made by a creative God, which makes you creative. And I think when we hear the word creative, we think, art, painting, music, kind of those basic things that come into our mind. But I would really love to broaden that perspective. And actually, Emily Freeman, who wrote my foreword, she also wrote a book called A Million Little Ways. And she just talks about, I quote her in my book, about how we were all made to show Jesus and again shed that light in a million different ways in the world. And so again, that's that abundance versus a scarcity mindset. So if my kid comes to me and says, "Hey, such and such at school is so good at this and I'm really bad at this," I get to say to them, "Well, here's how you can grow with that thing that you want to grow in, but here's the things that I see in you that are actually really good and gifts that I see that God's given you." And we can't have all the gifts necessarily, but He gives us gifts that He wants us to use in this life. And so if we're able to look around at other people and say, we can complement each other, we can partner together, we can collaborate together, which I really love seeing that happen a lot right now. I feel like all different kind of jobs and careers have been sort of merging more recently through online platforms to be able to just really partner together. So I've had a lot of musicians on an online book club I've been doing through Facebook, and they sort of calm the atmosphere for me and my readers and my listeners by playing us a song. And that's not necessarily my skill, but then I get to talk about the words that God's given me to share through this book. And together, we make this really beautiful partnership and team. And I think that's true of couples. I think that's true of families. And I think that's true of, staff in churches, in different jobs, different corporations. We need each of you, right? We need all the variety. Think about all the animals in the garden that God made. None of them look alike. You know, they're all unique. And we, can you imagine? Like, we're humans. So, of course, He made us just as vast and special and unique, if not more, than those animals back in the garden.
Beautiful. I wonder if we had the presence of mind when we're with someone that we're tempted to be intimidated by, jealous of, insecure about, if we dare to pause, step back, say, Lord, what have you imparted to me that I could offer to them to add some value to their life? And in a gesture of total humility, not what do I have that they don't have so I can have the upper hand? You know, we just go into those comparisons so easily, but to say, I don't know what makes her thirsty. I don't know what breaks his heart. I don't know what their backstory is, but everybody is walking around with a broken heart to some degree. Everybody's had some hard twists and turns. So how can I add value to their life? I mean, it changes things completely. Or walking into a room going, who's talking about me to who needs what you've given to me, Lord? I mean, just say a word about just, again, getting out of the scarcity mindset into I'm already full in Christ. I'm complete in Him. So now I'm going to, from here, live out of the love of God and trust Him to guide and guard me.
Yeah, well, I think when we live that way, with that lens that I believe is true from the Lord, and His vision for us as His people, we really do start to live out of our potential more. And, you know, there's the whole self-help movement, which obviously I value psychology because I'm a counselor. But I think it can really get in balance when it starts to be, you know, all of the strength and all of the goodness is me in my own strength. And then we start to sort of push other people down around us because we elevate ourselves to this place that we were never meant to be or to hold. But if we can put God in that place, in His rightful place, as Lord of the whole earth, then we get to be his co-heirs of his kingdom and his co-creators in this world. And then we get to see everybody else as his co-creators. And then we're linking arms and we're joining together and joining forces. And it's mind-blowing to me. Like, I just stand in awe of what happens when we do that versus trying to push down everybody around us and just do our
I hope we will. Oh, there she is. We've had you drop out a couple of times. We lost your last couple words there, but we're going to pause here for a break. When we come back, I want you to talk a bit about what does it mean to live out of our false self? And what, how do we answer the question when we're in that place, is God holding out on me? What do you say to the person who's wondering about that? But we'll also tackle about how do you get into that place of rest, that place of receptivity? You know, somebody once said the kingdom of God's not something we achieve. It's something we receive. So how do we live that receiving life so we can really be a blessing to those around us and live with a healed heart? It is possible. I want you to believe it. It is possible. Talking to counselor and author Meredith McDaniel. Her book is In Want and Plenty, Waking Up to God's Provision in a Land of Longing. We've got 6 copies if you want in. Preach it, Susan says. Amen and amen. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing. 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute.
Every day, every breath, every moment I'm living, every beat of my heart, every morning I'm giving. I'm a soul so grateful, so lost in wonder. It's undeniable.
Hope you're having a fantastic day. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson, talking to counselor and author Meredith McDaniel. Her book is titled In Want and Plenty, Waking Up to God's Provision in a Land of Longing. And as I said, you know, I feel like Meredith writes like she speaks. And this book to me felt like a cup of cool water, just inviting you to a safe place to ponder your story, to trust that God wants you to see a bigger story, that He wants to heal your hurts. He is providing manna for you in the land of the living. There's provision and evidences of His grace all around you. But sometimes we're so blinded by our hurts and our disappointments and our longings, we don't see the goodness of God. But the more anchored to the goodness of God we are, the more our hearts will heal. So love for you to get a copy. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing. 877-933-2484. And Susan writes in, we're not competing with each other. We are completing each other, the wonderful body of Christ. That's just beautiful, Susan. So Meredith, say if you would, word if you would, before we move into that, just how to enter into the rest of God. What does it mean to live out of your false self? You said it's a cheapened version of God's best for us.
Yes. Well, again, I think that we can just get so lost in our own headspace and we start to believe lies that are not true about ourselves. So if we're able to, I think for me, this is spending time in the Word. It's listening to music that sings scripture over me. I actually had Ellie Holcomb on my book club yesterday singing her song Red Sea Road that just fits so perfectly with this book. And it just reminds us of our true identity and who we were really made to be. And when we do that, you know, we don't get in those dark spaces as quickly. Now, I do think it's important to address that many of us do struggle from legitimate, you know, anxiety and depression that has a physiological component. So I always want to be careful when I'm talking about matters of both faith and our body, that it's not always necessarily just a, let me just read a verse and that's going to be a prescriptive healing for my body. You know, I think a lot of times it's going to take a whole team, a whole around us. It's going to take our connection with the Lord. Sometimes it's going to require some medication. Sometimes it's going to require some deep work in a therapy setting to be able to find the healing that you're referencing and talking about right now. But really good places to start are, again, just that being still and journaling, getting in the Word, being around people who can remind us of what is true. And then beyond that, if we need extra support, there's so many great resources that God has given certain people gifts to be able to use, if that's through pastoral care or a spiritual director, a counselor or a medical doctor. We need all the helpers that we can get.
Mm-hmm. Well, a couple of the questions you ask that could probably mess with somebody a little bit in a good way are these: what are you avoiding and what can't you sit with? Talk about why those are such important questions.
Yeah, there's one point in the book where I talk about the downtime setting on our iPhone. And a couple of years ago, Apple sort of made this available. And for me, it's been really huge because, when I reach my limit on, say, email or social media, my phone literally just sort of the screen just dims and gets quiet. And it's a reminder to me, I've reached my limit for today. And so what I do at that point is I try to be present with myself and with God. And just again, to really invite God into that space and to say to him, God, you know, what do you want me to hear from you right now? Can you reveal some things to me so that I can, grow and see what my next move is in the world and in my day?
One of the questions you ask your new clients is this: if I could wave, or you could wave a magic wand and change one area of your life, what would it be? I want you to speak to that question and talk about, you know, are the answers as varied as there are flowers, you know, or do you find some often consistent answers?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I do think they're varied. I think depending on a person's life stage, life experience, you know, their whole backstory that they bring to that conversation and to the room, I would say some common themes that I see are, you know, that big word disappointment that we referenced earlier in our conversation, just wanting life to look and feel different than it does. A lot of times specifically, that's relational heartache. Finances are obviously a really big thing right now. The fear is something that I hear from people. You know, I don't want to live in fear. I don't want to be afraid of getting the virus. I don't want to be afraid of not parenting well through this, not being able to school my kids well through this, not the fear of losing a job. So fear, I would say, is probably something that really does rise to the surface. Can you just give me that magic wand that'll take the fear away? And that's when we really have to talk about what it looks like to, again, release and relinquish the control that we live in an illusion that we have, but that we don't actually have.
Well, I just got a quick insert here. One of the platforms we've been branching out on at Faith Radio is YouTube, doing just live stream broadcasts. And recently we did one on winning the fear worry battle with Dr. Troy. So if you, friend, want to get to YouTube and just search Susie Larson, Dr. Troy, you'll find it. But he's a doctor. We talked about the physiological implications of fear and worry and how God invites us to faith and what happens in us, in our bodies, when we open up to the idea that God loves us and he is for us. So if friend, if you are there and you missed the live stream, you can just go to YouTube, search Susie Larson's comma Dr. Troy. It'll come up. Let's talk about this. You said rest comes in the stillness of surrender. When we relax and realize we cannot hold it together, opening our hands to what Jesus has for us in the moment versus what we think we need brings peace. When we learn to live in abundance instead of scarcity, a calm comes over us. Say more.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think this actually goes back to your question I didn't fully answer a second ago, which is when we're still, you know, what rises up in us. And so initially, when we're still, the things that come to mind are what we don't have again. So that's that scarcity. This is, I wish I felt different. I want this in my life to be different. If only my circumstances could change, then I would have peace. But I kind of flip that on its head in that quote that you just read and just say, if we're able to, yes, bring all of that to God, yes, lay that down at his feet. He already knows it. But let's just, you know, acknowledge it in our own minds and then hand it over to him. Then, you know, we're taking our tight grip and our clenched fist, as Henry Nouwen likes to say, and we're loosening that grip and we are saying, God, I have open hands to what you want to give me. And I think just even that act, like if you think about your fists being tightly clenched, that takes a lot of energy and effort, and it's actually pretty draining. But as soon as we open up those hands, we can even feel a physiological response go through our whole body that I'm not in control. I don't have to be. I wasn't made to be, and actually God is. So if he holds the whole world in his hands, like we sing about when we're little, he actually holds me in his hands too. And I love that image of him holding us and that we're not slipping through the cracks. And I think that mindset shift really is what brings peace to our whole body and our whole being, because that means we can trust him in surrender versus trying to hold tight to what we think will help us in this life.
I'd like to know what you see. What changes in a person's life when they start to heal?
Well, I'll start with me, because when I started to see and hunt and find the manna in my life, I really woke up. You know, in my subtitle, I say waking up to God's provision. It really woke me up and it became this treasure hunt. So every day when I wake up, I'm not just looking for what's missing, which is my struggle, but I am looking for what is already here and what is to come. And that, that treasure hunt, that excitement, that wonder, brings so much beauty and joy and glory and light into my life. And I've seen that in my counseling clients, in the ways that they, you know, you'll see this little light bulb go off and they get this little twinkle in their eye, and you know that something deep at their core has shifted and changed in that moment, thanks to the Holy Spirit, thanks to our conversation and this whole like beautiful sacred moment that has happened. And then they go out into the world and I, as a counselor, entrust them back into God's hands. And I say, you know, God, go with them. Help them to see you, help them to find you, help it to be this just wild ride of a treasure hunt, moving forward in their life. And they come back and they tell me these amazing manna moments that, that keeps me going every single day.
Boy, that's fantastic. You said, may we remember who and whose we are as we continue to embark on the Exodus road together. May we allow the power of our mighty God to break down the barriers in our being that keep us from his best for our lives. May our story start to shift as we learn to trust in his mighty hand. I just think that's powerful, and I'm praying that for you today, friend. If you're listening and needing a shift, I pray it happens for you. You start to look for God's provision, look for his goodness. Just got a little bit of time left here, Meredith. I'd just love to know, what do you know about God now that you didn't know 5-10 years ago?
I think just that he's with me. You know, no matter what comes my way, if it's big or small, but it really weighs on my heart for whatever reason. He sees me and he's with me in it, and I'm not alone. And because of that, it compels me to worship. You know, I talk a lot about the role of music and singing, and I just long for the day where we can all be back together face to face, where we can just worship Him in that kind of space, thanking Him for the manna and the provision, and just ultimately His presence with us, and that He He's enough.
Amen. Well, Meredith, what a delightful conversation, and you are a delightful heart. Thank you for this beautiful book and for giving us your time today.
Oh, thanks for having me, Susie. It was a gift.
Mm-hmm. Gift to me as well. Meredith McDaniel's her name. Her book, In Want and Plenty, Waking Up to God's Provision in the Land of Longing. We'll keep that opening drawing open for about 15 minutes. You want to text the word book to get in the drawing, 877-933-2484. I sure hope you found some encouragement here today. God is good, and He is for you. He'll always make a way for you. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Middays with Susie Larson. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.